This is the podcast from JNS Pediatrics. Hello and welcome. I'm Natalie Pincham, and I will be reading synopses of some of the articles published by JNS Pediatrics on September 5th, 2014. The topics of the articles featured in this podcast are the peripheral nerve and congenital malformations. Radial to axillary nerve neurotization for brachial plexus injury in children, a combined case series, a clinical article by Scott Zuckerman and colleagues. Axillary nerve injuries are most often caused by blunt trauma and obstetric brachial plexus palsy. Transfer of radial nerve motor branches to the axillary nerve has emerged as a safe and effective means of restoring shoulder abduction, but only 12% of published radial to axillary nerve neurotizations have been performed in children and none in neonates. This three-institution series describes radial to axillary nerve neurotization in various brachial plexus injuries of childhood. The authors performed a retrospective review of cases of brachial plexus and peripheral nerve injuries in patients less than 18 years old across three tertiary care centers. Four infants, one child, and two teenagers underwent surgical intervention and were followed for a median of 15 months. Two surgical approaches were used, posterior and transaxillary. Preoperatively, no patients were able to abduct their shoulder past 15 degrees. Postoperatively, all patients were able to activate their deltoid and abduct against gravity. Four of seven were able to abduct against resistance. In this series, radial to axillary nerve neurotization improved shoulder abduction in all seven pediatric patients. While rarely used in children, this neurotization procedure is an excellent option to restore deltoid function in children with brachial plexus injury due to birth or accidental trauma. Endoscopic treatment of intraparenchymal arachnoid cysts in children. A clinical article by Nasser El-Gandour. Intracranial arachnoid cysts usually occur in the subarachnoid space of major cerebral fissures and arachnoid cysts. They are very rarely located within the brain parenchyma, devoid of communication with the subarachnoid space. In the present study, the author evaluates the role of endoscopy in the treatment of intraparenchymal arachnoid cysts, which have a paraventricular location non-contiguous with the basal cisterns. 12 pediatric patients with symptomatic intraparenchymal arachnoid cysts had undergone endoscopic cystoventriculostomy. They had a mean follow-up of 42.5 months. The fenestration procedure was technically easier for these intraparenchymal cysts than for other types of arachnoid cysts, and the procedure could be performed bluntly. This may be attributable to the absence of a definite cyst membrane at the area of contiguity with the lateral ventricle. The results are promising, with postoperative clinical improvement in 10 patients, or 83%, and a decrease in cyst size in 9 patients, or 75%. None of the patients had intraoperative complications. In conclusion, endoscopic cystoventriculostomy should be considered as the first choice in the treatment of intraparenchymal arachnoid cysts because it maintains the basic strategy of cyst fenestration into the lateral ventricle without the invasiveness of open craniotomy and the implantation of shunt systems. Thank you for listening. Follow the JNS on Twitter at #TheJNS. And please like us on Facebook at Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group. Comments on this podcast can be sent to jnspodcast@thejns.org.